But without the volunteers and our staff and our board, we really wouldn't be able to do the things we're doing. So.
Yeah.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet via your browser at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, remember that thing with the knobs or the push buttons? 102.9 here in the glorious food pantry building with Tina Powderly. Tina, thank you for doing this.
Good morning, Steve.
It's a great morning, and especially talking with you about the stuff that's going on for September Hunger Action Month.
There is a lot going on, for sure.
Absolutely. So we'll get into that, but for somebody who hasn't listened before, who's a little bit about Tina and how you ended up in this particular role.
Sure. I've been a resident of Franklin for well over 20 years and had always been involved in the Franklin Food Pantry, which has been around for well over 30 years. Mm. So I was on the board for quite some time. COVID hit and we were doing some rearranging internally to try to meet that unprecedented situation. And I came on board as executive director. I do have a background in business and public health and been working in those fields for a while. That was in our previous space. For those who don't know, that previous space actually doesn't exist anymore.
There's an empty spot there.
It's an empty lot that looks impossibly small for serving the amount of folks that we did.
I'm just glad that I don't have to go up and down those stairs anymore to the cellar and bump my head.
You and many, many other people. One of the advantages of the community support that put us into this building, which is ADA accessible, has a loading dock, and has been intentionally designed. So I do encourage folks who haven't been inside this building as a community member to take a tour. We do have tours available that you can sign up for on our website that will give you background into what we do and allow you to see firsthand how we do it, which is really where the magic is. Mm-hmm. So we provide food and personal items to folks in Franklin and beyond. We'll talk about that. That's a little teaser.
That's a recent development.
Free of cost to anybody who walks in our doors and expresses a need.
Yeah, definitely. And the location, clearly the change from what had been a familiar Franklin landmark, Edwin's with the brown building, all of a sudden get reinvigorated as white and it sticks out. So if people did not know where you were,
we hope they know now.
They
yes.
certainly can't miss it. It's like, what's that white building? Oh, it's the food pantry. Oh,
I spoke about this in another public setting, but it really is an amazing commitment by this community that they believe that a building in the middle of a busy intersection on the middle of a state highway should be dedicated to supporting its community members, which is what we do.
Right.
And we wouldn't have done that without the folks who live in this community, the town of Franklin, even some state help through grants. So it's been a wonderful journey.
Right, and especially the family who you continue to honor with the food pantry at.
Yes, yes. The Aldrich family really wanted their legacy to live on, and for those who knew about the store that this building previously was, husband and wife team who I think had been married almost 100 years by the time all
was
said and done.
It was a long time.
True love story who really was much endeared by the community. So their family is very excited, and we stay in touch with them all the time. And Jean herself is very active in supporting our mission because they wanted their legacy to live on.
Absolutely.
So we're very grateful to them.
Right. And Chloe, September being Hunger Action Month, it's not just us here in Franklin. It's kind of a national awareness piece, which you're taking advantage of.
Absolutely. It's a national awareness campaign. Our local food bank, Greater Boston Food Bank, has a lot of material that helps sort of guide a lot of our member agencies, but our fellow, you know, neighboring agencies also are very active doing proclamations. It's a rising tide lifts all ships. Mm-hmm. So we specifically are doing a few things that we'd like to talk about today. But what we want people to really understand is that food insecurity is a real issue, mm-hmm. and it's probably easy to have it out of sight, and we're mm-hmm. trying to bring it back into the light so folks know that families, children, seniors, veterans may need assistance, and allow people various avenues to participate in that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and another conversations, I think, even one recently, we were discussing that, you know, hunger can be a very hidden disability, very similar to other disabilities, whether mental. Clearly, if you've got a broken leg and you're on crutches, it's visible that you've got a problem. But until somebody asks for food or need help for food, that's an invisible disability.
It's absolutely a disability. If you think about people being hangry, that sort of phrase that's used. Now think about that being sort of a consistent feeling throughout your entire week. So you can be food insecure and not necessarily hungry at any point in time. Hungry mm-hmm. is really this physical manifestation. But food insecurity is that incredibly scary feeling of not really knowing if you're gonna have food on the table. And in those situations, that could be obviously extremely distressful, extremely stressful mentally, physically, obviously, emotionally, to try to figure out how to arrange your life so that you know, especially when you're responsible for others, say
Correct.
Children,
yeah.
how to get that food on the table is really what the scary feeling is.
Right. And even I've used or drawn from the master plan doc, which used census data from 2020 on the housing issues, where a large percent, I won't quote the numbers here because I haven't looked at them recently enough to quote them more exactly, but a significant number of people in the apartment space are considered at risk because more than 30% of their income goes to housing.
Correct.
And another percent, so it makes it like 3/4 of the entire apartment population, are at risk because they're spending more than 50%. People may say, well, the apartment, they're starting out, et cetera, et cetera. But even on the ownership side, there's still a significant percent that are already at risk. And then, okay, you get double income, but if something happens, a major accident, an illness, you lose one income, you're in that danger zone where you're going to need some help. And you, amongst other resources, because that's one of the keys that you do, you coordinate other resources other than providing the food.
Other than providing the food. Yeah, it really is. There's so many stories where if you work in this space where you realize we all are 1 or 2 degrees away. Mm. They're even happy stories, supposedly. Mm-hmm. We have folks who change jobs, which means they change insurance.
Sure.
And that would presumably be a positive thing. But if you have a budget built on your first insurance, and now this month you're on a different insurance, mm-hmm. and the copay structures and the upfront costs are different, the employer share. Mm-hmm. So you could have made a really positive change in your life. And if you're really living paycheck to paycheck, that can be just enough to need a little bit of extra help.
Right.
And again, it could be 3-6 months while you're adjusting, or again, you had a car accident, and you're waiting for your car to be fixed. You have additional bills around that. But sometimes it can be years. We do have some folks who may live on fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a disability. Maybe they're a senior. And as prices in the world rise higher
right.
than their fixed income rises, mm-hmm. that obviously creates a strain. And when you come here and you can offload that cost every week, that helps give you a little breathing room, and hopefully you also leave here with a smile. We know mm-hmm. everybody's name. We know their life story. We care deeply about everybody who walks through this door, and that's part of the experience. You don't walk in here pick up a bag of prepacked groceries. You shop, you interact, you really have a personal support network when you walk in and out of these stores.
You've taken advantage of the space to redesign, focus on, certainly it's very welcoming. It's as cool as the greatest market in the world. You've got the big circle light on the top, so it creates that angel space.
That halo effect, as we like to say.
Halo effect, absolutely. And you emphasize not just the choice, but a variety of choices. From certainly the healthy stuff, obviously, has tried to be emphasized, but people are going to make their choice.
Yeah, we are launching a new initiative this year. It's not a one-time initiative, but it is working through a newish movement called Food is Medicine, and Massachusetts is really a leader in this space. But we've developed a nutrition policy, and the Food is Medicine work is really designed to educate people on what the healthiest choices might be that are available, so and make them easy for people.
Sure.
So, for instance, in September, we're focusing on healthy breakfast, sort of ties in with going back to school, maybe getting back into that routine at work, and we are going to create overnight oats sort of kits for folks and teach them about this sort of concept, so that folks can use ingredients that they would find in the pantry to create these healthy meals for themselves in a way that's easy, time sensitive, affordable, and hopefully can translate into the future.
Sure.
And, you know, we have a new little mascot we call Poppy, and he is a little puzzle piece that helps highlight the healthy pieces within our pantry. So we do have, of course, canned goods and boxed items and all sorts of treats as well. But we have a lot of healthy produce. We have lean proteins. We have dairy. One of the defining features of our space is our commercial walk-in refrigerator and freezer. And that capacity really allows us to provide that variety for folks. So that is something that you'll see kind of woven in our delivery of services from here on into the future.
So I think at the beginning when we talked about Hunger Action Month, there's a couple of things that you want to emphasize. So this can kind of give us a segue into some of those other pieces.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you look at food insecure households, they self-report that 40% of folks are foregoing costs associated with their own physical health in order to make sure they can put food on the table. So you have a little bit of this terrible cycle where if you're food insecure, sometimes the least expensive food aren't the healthiest ones. They're not the ones that are going to drive you to your best school performance, your best job performance. But that's what you can afford. So we're also trying to bridge that gap and help people stretch their dollars. That being said, we just know that food insecurity is on the rise. Yeah. We're seeing the demand in our numbers. We're seeing the demand in neighboring towns. And it used to be years and years ago that the food pantries locally were open to sort of anyone who needed assistance. And collectively, over time, we all have found we had to restrict new clients to just those in the town in which we were based because the need was so high. And it's a function of 500 volunteers and 11 staff, but it's a function of food. And we don't have unlimited access to food. We are given a certain amount of what we call our weight limit, how many pounds we can pick up from Greater Boston Food Bank every week. And we use all sorts of other resources to access food. But there's only what you can give out is only based on what you can get in. However, we did receive an incredibly generous grant from BJ's this summer, which allowed us to purchase a higher capacity truck. And our staff, which is highly skilled in all their areas of responsibility, have been building these collaborations and working through different relationships so that we have a variety of food avenues to supply ourselves. And you put all of that together, and we're really excited to be able to offer to our contiguous towns, those who touch our border. So that would be Bellingham, Medway, Norfolk, and Wrentham. Starting on September 16th, those folks, new folks from those towns, can come through our drive-through and access food at this pantry.
Right. So just the drive-through.
Just the drive-through. Right now, we're trying to manage.
You're taking steps towards
the volume. Right.
Right.
So if you live in Franklin, live in Wrentham, excuse me, you could go to the Wrentham pantry, which is a little bit of a smaller pantry, mm-hmm. not open as many hours.
True.
Maybe those hours even conflict with your personal schedule. And you could also come here. It's
right.
not an either or.
So it's more supplemental.
Exactly. So we're working with the other pantries to try to publicize that. It won't affect existing clients. We do have some clients from other towns who are grandfathered in before we had mm-hmm. to restrict
right.
residency.
Sure.
So those folks can still shop as they normally would. But this has always been a hope. You know, you want to open your arms as wide as you possibly can to
right.
capture as many people as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So we're really grateful that we're able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, given the other pressures, and whether political or otherwise, resources, clearly food by the pound, and then ultimately dollars from various donations, all of which are used to produce, and I think you said it at the council presentation, the food is free to the clients, but it's not free to you, even when you get it from Greater Boston Food Bank. You're still paying something for that.
Correct. It's really an important point for folks to understand. If you give us a dollar, it's going to go a lot further when we purchase from Greater Boston Food Bank than if you were to purchase from a local grocery store. But that being said, you know, we spend thousands and thousands of dollars a week buying our food from Greater Boston Food Bank, and we have thousands and thousands of pounds that are donated, but Greater Boston Food Bank also is reliant on its particular environment, what food they are receiving from federal programs,
sure.
from state programs, so it can vary, and we have made a commitment sort of under our dignity and choice philosophies that there are certain items that will always be in our market. So there are plenty of weeks where there is not milk available at the Greater Boston Food Bank store, to so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and we go purchase it. And we have great relationships with our retailers, and we're quite the bargain shoppers around
mm-hmm.
here, for sure. But that's still a cost. And
sure.
It's labor. And it changes every week.
Right.
So that's what goes on behind the scenes a lot. And it's interesting because we're having this conversation during a week where we are closed to clients. So if I can spend a second on that, because folks might say, oh, you know, why do you need to close to clients? A few things. One is to reassure folks that when we are closed, we do make sure that clients know what the other resources are.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have also started implementing a new plan where when we are closed, you would receive an extra bag of groceries
in the prior week. Before the close.
Exactly.
Right.
To try to sort of offset
mm-hmm.
That closed week. But during that closed week, we really are only closed to clients. Clearly, I'm here doing this interview. The work is still going. So we... It allows us to take inventory, to deep clean, to do things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very challenging to have, especially organizational-wide meetings
sure.
while we're taking care of clients, because we want to give them our attention. We take food. We will pick up food deliveries, and
mm-hmm.
that sort of helps us replenish our inventory.
Right.
Because on a normal week, the food that's going in is going out just as fast, sometimes faster. So it's really critical for us to sort of, you know, this is a large business, and we have to do strategic planning
mm-hmm.
just like everyone else. There's
right.
a lot of administrative work that goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So we periodically throughout the year do close and prepare our clients for that, and that allows us to better serve finesse our programs so mm-hmm. that they're at the absolute best when
maximize the output when they need it, but when you're available to help deliver it for them.
Exactly.
And you've got to do all that behind the scenes work somewhere somehow. So
yes. Yeah. So that's where we are this week.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for our Hunger Action Month. A couple of fun things. If this comes out, I don't know when we'll have it out in time, but September 9th, which is a Tuesday, is National Hunger Action Day. Orange is the color of Hunger Action Month. So I'd encourage everybody to wear orange. And if someone asks you, Steve is sporting orange now, doing double duty with his turkey trot orange shirt. If someone asks you why you are wearing orange, it's a great conversation starter. The goal is just to raise awareness. And when we say 1 in 3, I think some folks have a hard time really believing that.
Right.
But that just simply means that 1 in 3 people have felt concern about where they're getting their food mm-hmm. the next day. And that's a really high number. If you think of your family members, your group of friends, your business cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I, after having done this work for so long, know that when I'm sitting in a room, people have often shared a story with me from their childhood,
sure.
from recent experience, and that drives a lot of the supporters we have, whether mm-hmm. it's financial supporters or folks who provide services to us, which is also really key
mm-hmm.
For our survival.
Right. Or volunteer. As a business. We the sweat equity of the sweat moving
equity.
And
yep.
greeting and talking and finding out and helping. Yeah.
It's a physically demanding job, depending what volunteer role you have, but it's also emotionally demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, I know you have someone very close to you that has recently come into our ranks and is a fabulous volunteer, but you're at the front lines hearing these stories. And so, again, a lot of the work we would do on a closed week is training, because this is intense work, and how to show up for a client when they're having a crisis, and to show up for the other volunteers and for the staff is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to support everybody who's caring for our community in that way. But without the volunteers and our staff and our board, we really wouldn't be able to do the things we're doing. So
yeah, I think the stat you shared, certainly at the volunteer appreciation lunch earlier this year, but then at the council meeting Wednesday, there's an awful lot of hours that are contributing. It's what, 100-something per week?
Yep, 125 volunteers per week. So some of their shifts are 4 hours long.
Right.
So, we had well over 12,000 hours last year. I think we're going to be at about 13,000
mm-hmm.
this year. And when you sort of take the volunteer rate that's recognized nationally for what that translates to, if we had had to hire folks to do that, that would have been well over $500,000. So impossible to do without this family. Yeah.
Right.
Another fun thing that is happening this week, which I want to, this month, I should say, that I want to give some publicity to, is through the town of Franklin. If you are lucky enough to have accessed the public space at Delcart, they have what is called a story walk.
I just saw that.
It's a very fun little activity. You can walk with your kids, you can walk with your dog, you can walk by yourself, but they will pick a book and sort of illustrate it along your walk with different pages from the book. And in recognition of Hunger Action Month, the library in the town of Franklin is showcasing Saturdays at the Pantry, which is a great book by Diane O'Neill that raises awareness about food insecurity at a level that a child could absorb.
Begin to understand. It's like, really? Something happens like that?
Help kids who may be in a position of food insecurity mm-hmm. reach out for help,
right.
or help them support friends who
sure.
May come to school and not have mm-hmm. a snack, might be cranky because they didn't have enough food over the weekend.
Right.
Because we do have resources for those children. We have our weekend backpack program where every single week we're delivering anonymous backpacks via the school nurses, and adjustment counselors in the schools who identify families who either want to sign up or who come forward through the nurse identifying them. Right. So if you're listening and you think, wow, a little bit of extra food would really, really take some of the concern off, please, please, please see your school nurse or contact us here at the Franklin Food Pantry and we can get you into that program. It's, again, no cost. The food gets delivered right to you. You don't even have to come to us. So it's great. It's there's healthy foods, a couple of meals that get you through the weekend, and it happens every single week. So
right, and that's just one of the many examples in terms of the coordination of with it, town resources. While I think you said, or actually, it even came up in the constant quarterbacking. You know, you are delivering a service to the town, but you're not a town service. You're not funded by the town, but you certainly coordinate with a number of the town departments in order to deliver the service you do.
Absolutely. I mean, we're so well supported in terms of, again, sweat equity and collaboration by the town, but there is no funding line item. You know, we exist through the generosity of donations, again, whether it's food, financial, time, in-kind services, you know, I can spend a second on that. Businesses who maybe smaller businesses and might not have the cash flexibility have been wonderful to us in terms of providing expertise and support. We have a volunteer who was an IT professional in his former life, and he provides all of our IT support, which is incredibly complex. You wouldn't think it is, but it's incredibly complex between all the softwares it takes to order.
Well, technology is everywhere these days.
Everywhere.
And to the extent that you can use it smartly delivering your services, that makes it help.
And if you've ever owned a large property and had to pay for salt and plowing and landscaping, Kelly's Landscaping provides those items to us pro bono. A lot of our marketing and collateral materials, if you see mailings from us, print pieces,
purple envelopes,
that I'll tease those coming out, that's from Allegra Marketing pro bono. You know, we try to pay for as much as we can and are so grateful when these partnerships are offered to us to help our dollar go further and go directly to the clients.
Right.
So, you know, 90% of your donation goes directly to a client if you support the Frank Food Pantry, and we're really, really proud of that number, and we're able to do that because of those type of in-kind donations for the behind the scenes that it takes to, you know, run a business.
It's not just, oh, let's put some food out. No.
right, exactly.
A lot of planning, a lot of work.
I will say another area where we coordinate with folks in the town of Franklin that maybe aren't municipal entities are at some of the developments, housing developments in Franklin. And you may know that we have three mobile pantries. Again, under our sort of choice model, we believe it's not just the choice of the food that you receive, but it's the choice of how you receive it. So for some folks driving through curbside, let's say you have a little one in a car seat and you don't want to bother with trying to get them out of the car seat, that might be your best choice method. Some folks might prefer our online ordering system. Some folks might like to come in and shop. And some folks, our hours might not work for them. Perhaps it's easier for us to come to them. So we've added a fourth mobile pantry this Hunger Action Month, and that is at Franklin Commons, which is down sort of near the Franklin Country Club side of town. So that will now be monthly in addition to our presence at the Senior Center, Central Park Terrace, and Glen Meadow.
Right.
So once a month, we go to each of those spots with perishable foods, as well as what we call shelf-stable items and household goods. And folks can come through and shop. We just bring the food to you. And hopefully, our dream is that folks understand and learn more about what we offer, and eventually we see them here in our four walls.
Yeah, part of a regular appointment setup, or come through the Tuesday afternoon kind of walkthrough. But
absolutely,
yes, there's
absolutely
plenty of options in the delivery of what they need.
And when you come into the pantry, that allows us to provide those wraparound services that you were referring to earlier, which again is another sort of defining feature of what we offer. And that helps our clients deal with all those issues that are around food insecurity.
Right.
You know, food insecurity is what you call social determinant of health, which really means there's all sorts of other factors that come together to influence your overall health.
Sure.
And we try to help you connect with resources. We're very lucky to have a ton of excellent resources in Franklin, and we work really well with those partners. And we all have our individual expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a two-way referral system. We're
yep.
constantly getting referrals in and offering referrals out. And hopefully, from a client's perspective, that means they feel like they're embraced by a lot of support.
Sure. Take some of the worry away.
That is the goal.
Yes.
That is the goal.
Yeah. And then for those who may have received the Greet magazine, which comes through the mail monthly, the cover is certainly striking.
Yes, we are very grateful to Greet Franklin for showcasing the Franklin Food Pantry this month. Again, we're really trying to use Hunger Action Month to help people understand how critical this need is in their own community and other communities. So although the article is about the Franklin Food Pantry, we're just the conduit of this crisis. And it really is a crisis, driven in part by inflation and rising food costs, but also driven in part by the housing crisis and the high cost of just putting a roof over your head. So the Greet Franklin magazine has a lot of pictures. It's very engaging. You may see somebody you know who is a volunteer. There's a lot of smiles. So please read it. It'll help you get a glimpse into what we do every day. And hopefully what it does is inspire someone who hasn't previously been engaged to either donate, do a food drive, come in for a tour, maybe bring your book club in for a group activity, or say something to your employer for perhaps a volunteer day. There's just so many different ways that you can get involved and be a part of the community. So hopefully that's what this article does for folks.
Yeah, and certainly franklinfoodpantry.org is the one place to go to. You've got the navigation, so what you do, how we, that the community can help, all those links, take time to go through those. If something's not there that you're looking for, call.
We have info at franklinfoodpantry.org. That's always a catch-all, and we'll get that information to the right place, or please do call. Absolutely.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you for taking time in, granted it's your kind of off week, but this is the key piece in setting up all your on weeks.
Exactly, exactly.
Thank you for taking time to share. Hopefully the listeners will, oh, really? I should do something and take action.
That would be great. That would be great. And thank you, Steve, for all you do for our community and connecting all of us with the amazing work that's being done across Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. Get involved. Stay in tune. And quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com.
The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.